We're so thankful to be able to come to your place of gathering around the Word of God together. And we invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And we want to speak about a subject that most born-again children of God, really born-again regenerate people, I'm talking about God-bought, blood-washed people, not church members, only, but really born-again people of God have not even considered. It is a very dangerous thing, and I want to help you see this, and let us cry out to God that he might help us alter our ways and comply with the Word of God in this. We're going to be looking in verse 10 to get our subject, speak evil of dignities. But let us begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1, as we begin our message on speak evil of dignities. Verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people in the Old Testament, even as there shall be false teachers among you in the New Testament age, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. It is going to be by their mouth, by their word, they're going to be bringing in damnable heresies. Heresies that will fool a lot of people and will be to their damnation. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. They will go to the very heart of Christianity. That is the purchase of the Lord Jesus Christ as spoken in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The Lord that bought them. By his blood, they're going to go after that. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious, their destructive or filthy ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be, listen, evil spoken of. This whole thing comes out of the dragon's mouth as he opens his mouth there in Revelation 12 and flood of water comes out. It's a flood of heresies. It's a flood of lies. It's bound up in religion. But it's to deceive and to destroy and to cause souls to be thrown out of the way and lose their way before the Lord and destroy true Christianity. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words. The Amplified reads, through cunningly false words. Here again, we're talking about talking. We're talking about preaching. We're talking about speaking. That's what this thing is concerned with. And through covetousness, desiring to have what they don't have, desiring to have what you have, to get what you've got, they shall with molded or cunningly false words make merchandise of you. The average religionist today and the average church denomination today is only desirous to have people in order to bring in the money. Used to be a PTL club. They said it stood for Praise the Lord. I thought it stood for Pass the Loot. That's what they desirous of. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. The damnation of God is right on their heels, and they are doing things that have to do with speaking lies and bringing in damnable heresies. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Excuse me. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. if you're living ungodly, you need to think about Sodom and Gomorrah. And listen, God doesn't change. He's the same as he always was. His rules and regulations and his desire for holiness and respect and honor and respect of his glory are still the exact same. And if we're not doing that, how do we expect to have any other outcome than what Sodom and Gomorrah had? When he saved Noah, the eighth person, in verse number 7, he said, and he delivered just Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Here again, what was it that was bothering Lot so much? Listening to their ungodly words, listening to the things that they that came out of their mouth. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. Dear soul, listen. The reason young people come back from public assemblies, schools, and so forth with filthy words in their mouth is because that's what they hear all day long. And you can't turn on the TV, dear soul, or get involved with the world very long without hearing something that is going to go right at the heart of the glory of God to destroy it. He delivered just Lot. I don't think that means delivered only Lot. Well, I just want that one, though. He delivered justified Lot. Lot was just, but he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That's that word, pernicious, up there in verse number 2, same word. And many shall follow their pernicious or filthy words. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That for that righteous man, see, he was justified. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But I want you to know something, Peter said. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, like Lot and like Noah, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, he's going to go ahead and elaborate a little bit on who the unjust are that are going to be punished by God. Listen. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. There's no morality about them, much less any righteousness. If they say whatever consenting adults want to do, it's all right. And it says that the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to deliver the reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Number 2, they despise government. That doesn't just mean they despise the people in City Hall or in Washington. It means mamas and daddies, they're not going to listen to their mama and daddy. They're not going to pay any attention to traffic laws. You stop completely for a stop sign these days, you can get hit in the back because people ain't going to stop. They despise government. That's where we are. And then it says, presumptuous are they. What does that mean? They presume that if they're thinking it and they want it, it's got to be right. They're presumptuous. You can't rule over them with law. Self-willed. That's the way it is. Get out of my way. You're not doing it right if you're not doing it like me. That's what we've got in America today. And they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. What? Yep. That's part of the description of those that God is going to destroy like he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's part of the description of those that he is going to destroy like he destroyed the whole world in Noah's day with a flood. What are they? They are people who are not afraid to speak evil of those who are set up to be esteemed. That word dignities is the same word glory in 2 Peter 3:18. It's the same word honor in John chapter 5 and verse 41. You go into a court, you say, Your Honor, there it is. That's a dignity. A judge set up to rule over us and to give us his decisions as he passes them down. People who are in authority, people who are supposed to be reverenced and honored. And even in England, they would say, Your Worship. That's the same word. So these people, they don't hold anybody with any respect. Dear soul, you find me a man or a people who are disrespecting those who are set up to bring the rule of law down upon us and to keep us in a rightful relationship with God, I'll show you a people that's of the devil. That's where this comes from. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, folks, I've never seen such a day. We call it social media. Well, I'm on social media. Well, what do you mean? I'm on TikTok or I'm on Facebook or I'm on whatever. And what do they do? Anybody who says anything slightly out of line with the individual's personal feelings and how they feel, they'll come down on you and they will flood you with a flood of critical texts and communications and trash you. We are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Honor thy father and mother, not anymore. We are supposed to show respect to those that are put in authority over us, not us. Why? We're on Facebook. We're on TikTok. We're on whatever. I'm just repeating words that I've heard. I'm not on any of that stuff. Listen, you better be careful, because the thing that is really getting a lot of Americans, a lot of Christians today in America, is they don't mind speaking vile and wretched things and criticizing dignities just because they're not in their same political persuasion. Well, he's a Republican, I'm not going to respect him. Or he's a Democrat, I'm not going to respect him. Or he's an independent. You need to be careful, dear soul. Lot was vexed with his righteous soul from day into day, listening to their ungodly words. God said he is chiefly going to destroy them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Those that despise government, they're not going to have anybody rule over them. And then there are also those who speak evil of dignities. Dear soul, let me warn you of something. There's an old saying, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything at all. That is pure gold. You need to be careful, Christian, criticizing somebody that's in authority because they're not along the lines of your religion, your opinions, your political persuasions, whatever. You need to be careful. And you're going to find out as this message goes along that it's very serious, but we don't mind it at all. There was a preacher, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he would send out blanket emails, and I don't know how I got on his list, but I did, and it was just trashing one political party and trashing the senators and the presidents and all of that was in those parties. And I sent him this verse. I wanted to warn my brother. Be careful what you're doing. Be careful what you're saying. You're going to have to give an account of these words. And these are the kinds of things that make you to be seen that you are not really born again. It made him so mad. He came after me then with a vengeance. Like, you're not going to tell me what to do. Well, there he was, despising government. Wasn't going to have anybody rule over him. And I wasn't trying to rule over him. I was just trying to edify him. I was trying to help him. I was trying to keep him out of trouble with the Lord. Oh, no. That wretched fella, you know, this was years ago, so it's not anybody that in office right now. But he said, they're terrible. They did this, that, and the other. And I thought, that doesn't give you the right to say anything against them as a Christian. You better be careful that you learn how to separate your Christianity from your patriotism. Now, that's a very wise thing. You need to be careful that you don't mistake your political aspirations with your Christianity. And some people in America today are so involved with politics that they have now blended it in with their Christianity, so that if you are not of their political opinion, you can't even be right with God. And I just warned him. I wasn't trying to get him to be of another political persuasion. I was just trying to warn what I thought was a brother and a minister of the gospel of getting in trouble with the Lord, speaking evil of dignities. He didn't like it. And I don't think he ever had anything to do with me to the good after that. But I'm going to try it again, because this is a message the Lord sent me over here with today just for us. Listen, next verse. They speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. You think you got the power to do that? What about mighty angels? They are greater in might and greater in power, but they will not bring any accusations against anyone before the Lord. Go on over, hold your place, and we'll go on over to Jude. Jude, in verse number 8. Well, start with verse 7 so you'll know where we take it up in the same place as in 2 Peter. Jude, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. They're an example of us that they suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. So let's don't do what they did. What is the next thing that it says? Jude verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defiled the flesh, despised dominion, and, watch it, speak evil of dignities. They defile the flesh. They do whatever they want to. I'm a consenting adult. I can do whatever. Don't you tell me I can't do. Here we go. Despise dominion. I won't have this man to rule over me. You're not going to tell me what to do. And then speak evil of dignities. It's the same thing. Next verse. Yet Michael, the archangel, not just a regular, everyday, run-of-the-mill angel, but an archangel, mighty, powerful. He says, Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Wait a minute. Who was Michael contending with? Satan. There is nobody as completely vile and wretched and sinful and ungodly as that creature. Number one. Number two. What was he going to contend with him about? The body of Moses. What does that mean? That means that God would bury Moses in a place to where the devil couldn't get a hold of him and make a relic out of him and worship his body or whatever. Sent by God to do this, a mighty archangel. But he wouldn't fuss with the devil, and he wouldn't accuse him. If anybody stands to be rightly accused, it's the devil. But God said, be careful, because he was once an angel. The devil was. So he is what God would call a dignity. He has authority. And Michael knew that. And he says, I will not contend with you. What did he say as the devil tried to resist him in Michael protecting the body of Moses after Moses died? He said, the Lord rebuke thee. Isn't that good? But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. That's Jude verses 7 through 10. Go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. Dear soul, I don't care how bad and how wicked and ungodly creatures are. They're God's creatures, and we need to respect God. I'm not going to tell you that which some of these people are doing is right. And I'm not telling you that I have any admiration for them. I do not. I think what Mr. Putin and Russia are doing is vile and wretched. But, dear soul, you need to be careful, because in Matthew chapter 23, it said the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What are you going to do about that? You're going to have to honor the seat, but don't do what they say and do what they do that sit in it. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Honor thy father and thy mother. What if thy father was abusing you as a young girl? What are you going to do about that? Honor thy father and thy mother. You can't despise dignities. Dear soul, this is so profound, and this is so hard, and this is so precise, that this will reveal to you whether there is any Christianity in anybody or not. Because the tongue, as we're going to see in the book of James, it cannot be tamed, but only by regenerating grace. So if you have an untrained and untamed tongue, it's doubtful that you know the Lord. You say, well, I'm just hearing about this now, and I'm going to try to do better. Good. If you've been doing this and now you say, well, I see what you're saying, I'm going to repent. That's great. Then you really are a Christian. If you say, I'm going to make sure that I, like Michael, am not even going to rebuke the devil and bring false accusations against him. I'm going to be careful what I say. And we're going to see later, dear soul, give you a verse where it says you'll be justified by your words. And you'll be condemned by your words. God hadn't got to call your neighbor or your friend or your enemy or whoever up before the great white throne judgment and say, what do you think about this fellow? He said, I'm going to justify you by your words. Was your tongue tamed? Well, then, if it is, it can only be tamed by the power of regenerating grace in the application of the blood of the Lamb of God. That's what we're talking about. This has to do with the expression of regenerating grace, or the expression of the lack of regenerating grace, as to whether you speak evil of dignities or not. That's what this is all about. All right. In verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 2, but these, those who despise government, don't want anybody to tell them what to do, no authority over me. I will not have this man rule over me. If they speak evil of dignities, they are presumptuous and self-willed. Verse 12 of 2 Peter 2 says, but these as natural brute beasts. They are not real, born again, regenerated Christians that can be called God's sheep. They can be called dogs and sows, natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. How do you know that? Because they speak evil of dignities and despise government and are presumptuous and are self-willed. They speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They speak evil of things which they understand not. That takes us back up to verse 2. We read that in 2 Peter 2:2. And many shall follow their destructive or filthy ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The reason Christianity is so hated and despised and is of such low esteem in the minds of everybody in our nation today is because of the way of truth has been evil spoken of by these people who do not hesitate in the slightest to speak evil of dignities. I can remember when there were debates from presidential candidates or senatorial candidates, and they would get up and they would respect one another, shake hands, and when they started with their time, they wouldn't interrupt the other fellow. They'd wait till their time, and the moderator told them, okay, it's your turn there now. And there would be what we call no mudslinging at all. There would be no violation of that person's reputation or character by any false accusations. But that's not true anymore. The more you can defile that person's reputation and speak evil of that dignity, the better the voters in America like it. We're in a mess. Speaking evil of dignities is that which already shows reprobation. They despise government, they're self-willed, they speak evil of dignities. And God said, I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because Lot had to listen to all of that. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to do it again. I'm not going to let anybody get away with this. That tongue in your mouth was given you by God, and you need to be careful with it. And your whole self, body, soul, mind, spirit, needs to be under the authority of the Holy Spirit, and you need to learn to be silent, learn to be quiet. Listen. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things which they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And it says, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness has a reward. As they that count it pleasure to rot in the daytime. Don't care who sees me. Don't care who knows it. Don't wait for night to cover over my ungodliness. Spots they are and blemishes. Sporting themselves with their deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices. And the last two words of verse 14 describe people who speak evil of dignities, cursed children. Let's get into this. Go back to James chapter 3. And I want you to see, dear soul, that you cannot tame your tongue, and it can only be tamed by the power of sovereign regenerating grace. Let's go back to James chapter 1 to begin with. James chapter 1 and verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, well, he's a member of our church. Good. Well, he's a deacon. Well, he's a Sunday school teacher. Well, she's a Sunday school teacher. Whatever. All right, if any man seem to be religious, now listen, and bridleth not his tongue, two things are going on. He's deceiving his own heart, and his religion is vain. I'm reading the Bible. That's not my opinion, but it is my opinion now, because I found it in the Bible, and I want to do what God said. James 1:26, if any person, man, woman, boy, girl, if any human being among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. He deceiveth his own heart. That man's religion is vain. Verse 22, James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. If you just hear the word and don't do it, what will that do to you? Deceiving your own selves. Polly wants a cracker. Who is Polly? Well, that's my parrot. What does she want? He or she want? Well, they want a cracker. Well, they don't know what they're saying. They just know if they imitate those sounds, they get a cracker. And Christians can learn, church members can learn to say things that sounds like true Christianity. But if they don't really realize and have that conviction in their souls, if their mouth is not connected to the genuine article of their heart, they're deceiving their own selves. Oh, my soul. So we understand and see, dear soul, that your religion can be in vain. And in James chapter 3, now we'll get to James chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters. What does that mean? Don't try to force your opinion on everybody. Don't try to rule over everybody. Don't try to be in charge of other people. Don't try to rule over others, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. See, these are those that are presumptuous and self-willed, and they're going to try to force their opinion on you. And they don't have any respect for dignities. Everybody is liable to get shot down by them as they shoot their barbed arrows at anybody in control or anybody that's in charge that goes against what they want. We have had people stand right here in this assembly, in this sanctuary, with tears in their eyes saying, this is where God told me that I was to be. This is where the Lord has shown me that I will receive the word. I have settled down to this. This ministry is God's ministry. That's God's man. Less than 2 years later, they're gone. Some less than 6 months later, they're gone. Why? Because the word of God smote them and showed them that they were deceived. They were natural brute beasts. They were not sheep. Guess what they did in order to justify themselves in leaving? Spoke evil of this dignity. Not me personally, but the word pastor. Be careful. God said, receive not accusation against an elder except in the presence of two witnesses. You're going to court if you do that. God's going to hold you accountable. You start tearing down what mama said or what daddy said to young people, and you start destroying their souls by teaching them it's funny and it's, you know, it's great and it's the thing to do to come up against dignities, whoever it is. Oh, old teacher so-and-so, well, I didn't like him either. I got out of his class because I don't believe what he said. Be careful, dear friend. And you see, this is running rampant in our nation. There's a term that I've learned and I didn't know before and didn't know how to apply it. It said, boy, that thing really went viral. I thought, what is that? It means everybody came out against it. And dear soul, the one thing that's going viral today in the social media is despising government. It is speaking evil of dignities. It is trashing people, trashing their reputations. And if you don't like what they say, even though they are a dignity that God has set up, and it's an office where God tells you to respect it, they come up against it and destroy it, and it says that proves that they are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. My soul. My brethren, James 3:1. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If you're going to have an opinion about everything, you're going to be offending more than you really realize. If any man offend, listen, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Ta-da! Perfection comes only from regenerating grace. We need to be perfect, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. If we're going to be perfect, it means that the Holy Spirit has taken control of us. And what does it say in James 3:2? If any man, human being, offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If you can control your tongue, it is only by regenerating sovereign grace. And if you can control your tongue, you will not be involved in these who riot in the daytime and who are covetous and practice fornication. Listen, he says, let me give you some examples. Let's take the horse, verse number 3. James 3:3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. If you can control your mouth and control your tongue, he said, you're able to bridle the whole body in verse 2. And he said, example are the horses. Verse number 4. Another example are the ships. Great, huge, mighty ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about by a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. That rudder back there, as they turn the rudders, that helm, it turns the whole ship. That's the way it is with the tongue. The bridle in the horse's mouth, you can turn his whole body by that. God's giving you examples. And in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, but it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. To get my wood stove to have a fire in it, all I have to do is strike one little penny match. One little match, but how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now the whole thing is a roaring fire, we call it. How did it start? Just a little matter. Be careful with your tongue. Remember, if you can control your tongue, it is because of regenerating grace. It is because God hath made you that perfect person by sovereign grace. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Listen now. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. You mean tell me that I got a member of my body that is connected to hell? That's what it said. You need to be careful with your tongue. You need to understand you can't tame it. You need to understand that if it is tamed, it is because God has saved you and you have been made a perfect person by regenerating grace. God will help you to overcome that, and it's the only way you can. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Verse 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. Listen now, verse number 8, James chapter 3 and verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The psalmist said the poison of asps are under their lips. This old, you need to run to Jesus. I have to run to Jesus. We need to flee to God. How am I gonna overcome this? This thing is powerful. It's too strong. I can't tame it. The Bible says so. But not only does the Bible say so, it's written down in the book. But I understand and know I can't by experience. I know I can't tame it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God can tame it for you. God will tame it for you. Listen. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Listen, verse 9. Therewith, with the tongue, we bless God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similarity of God. You speak against mankind. Well, I don't like him. I'm going to start this rumor about him, and I'm going to destroy his reputation. So you do that, it's the same as murder. Hopefully we can read you Matthew 5, 21 and 22 in this lesson that we read you last week, and you'll understand that murder and the tongue, bringing forth ungodly things against a person, Jesus lumped them in the same verse, in the same commandment. He said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you, if you say, thou fool, you shall be in danger of hell fire. Wow, I went ahead and quoted it anyhow. That's Matthew 5, 21 and 22. It's all one and the same. You need be careful. Don't speak evil of dignitaries. Well, they're not my party. Well, does it ever occur to us that we ain't exactly God's party either? We're not into that, anything perfect. The only reason that we have any acceptance with God is because of the blood of the Lamb of God that took away the sin of our world. But you don't understand. If they're a member of that party, they can't be saved. Really? Who was the first Christian terrorist? You say, what do you mean? That's what I said. I'm asking you a question. Who was the first Christian terrorist? Saul of Tarsus. Is there anybody least likely to ever have anything good to say with his tongue than Saul of Tarsus? Nope. What happened to him? And what of your Bible is provided by him? You say, well, like 2/3 of the New Testament has been written by the Apostle Paul. The what? The Apostle Paul. Oh, I thought you said he was Saul of Tarsus. Well, he was, but God saved him. Dear soul, we need to understand that only God can cleanse us, and that there are evidences of that cleansing grace. And one of them is we don't speak evil of dignitaries. Well, I didn't vote for him. Fine. As an American, that's your right. I'm not saying you got to do this or do that or the other as far as politics. I'm talking about Christianity and spiritual things. But I'm telling you this, even those for whom you do not vote, you better be careful how you speak concerning them, because out of your mouth come the words that will be used by God to judge you. Listen, he says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. These things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Can a vine bring forth figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Listen. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. We need to be careful, folks. It's sociably acceptable to lambast anybody we don't like. It's sociably acceptable to lambast anybody that's bring forth any kind of principle or edict or whatever or law that we don't think is according to our likes and dislikes. It's sociably acceptable. We're in an age that people's opinions and despising of government and dignities is just running rampant. And therefore, we are pushed along in that mighty flood, that mighty stream of ungodliness. It's a hard thing. But God said, it's time. It's time we stop this. It's time that we got ourselves ready, because you are and I am closer to eternity than we were yesterday. And you don't know but what God will be here by the time it's time to set your clocks ahead tonight. And we need to understand that we're not to gather up the ways of the world and bring up the things that the world is doing and take on the habits of the world and corrupt ourselves by evil communications. 1 Corinthians 15:33, again, evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, everybody's doing it. Well, let me tell you what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is going to hell too. It's the broad way. Many there be that go in there at. Everybody's going to hell. You want to go to hell with them? You say, well, if I don't do this, then I won't be popular. Well, would you rather be popular or righteous? Had you rather be acceptable with ungodly men whose mouth speaketh great vanities and whose religion is vain? Or had you rather hear Jesus say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? We need to work on this. It's serious stuff. Isaiah chapter 6. The book of Isaiah chapter 6. The Lord is dealing with Isaiah. And he says, it was the year that King Uzziah died. And there's a little word, four-letter word in there that makes us understand and see what this thing is talking about. Isaiah 6 in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw, and here's that word, also the Lord sitting upon a throne. His eyes had been so filled with the admiration of King Uzziah, and King Uzziah was an unbelievably wise man up there close to where what Solomon was. And he said, but in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I trust that that's going to happen to us in the year when our heroes are diminished by the Holy Spirit and the revelation of Jesus Christ is increased by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The glory of God filled the temple, and our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God flooded in my heart and revealed to me his dignity. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two they covered their face. With two they covered their feet. And with twain they did fly. And one cried unto another. This is how they communicated. One cried unto another. Okay, what are you going to say? They're not going to say anything that is derogatory towards anybody. They're just going to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's all they're going to say. Why? Because their tongue is sanctified. They're not going to take any opportunity or any chance of speaking evil of any dignity. They're going to communicate one to the other by saying, God is holy. Verse 4, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that crieth, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, if you get among this kind of creature that is standing in a consciousness of God, and he or she won't get involved with you in trashing political people or trashing religious people or trashing social people. They won't be involved in it. It's going to cause you to say, woe is I. Woe is me. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Well, what's undone about you, Isaiah? I'm a man of unclean lips. Oh, is that what got you? Yep. I was overcome by Uzziah. He was just really my hero, my idol. But guess what? He died. Okay. God said, now that you've had that high, lofty look at a hero, let me show you the real hero. And God filled his temple, Isaiah's temple, with awareness of God and his glory. And immediately Isaiah said, I am undone. Well, what is it that convicted you that you were undone? Behold, I am a man of unclean lips. Anything else? Yep. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. How did you come to see this? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Before this, I was just seeing a political figure. And, you know, I'm just letting my mouth go. Now I know that that was unclean lips. Oh. Well, what else did you see? Everybody was worshiping Uzziah. So they were all of unclean lips. Do you see what part of the body God revealed to him that made him see he was undone? It was his mouth. And then flew, listen, I want you to really listen to this. Isaiah 6:6. Then flew one of the seraphim, unto me, having a live coal, C-O-A-L, coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Old Testament, representative of taking of the glory and the holiness of Jesus Christ from the redemptive work of the altar of God at the cross and making application to you. Now, in verse 7, and he, the seraphim, picturing the Holy Spirit working in your life, laid it upon my foot? No. Hand? No. My head? No. Where? He laid it upon my mouth. He said, yeah, you're right. You are undone because you are a man of unclean lips. But we're going to fix that up. Lo, this has touched thine lips. Listen. And thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Lord, don't wash my feet. I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I wash not your feet, you're not clean. Peter said, then wash all of me. He said, no, I just need to wash your feet. The seraphim said, I just need to touch your mouth. We're going to get this done. It's going to be the purging work of redemptive grace, that flaming coal, our God is a consuming fire, from off the altar, taken straight from Calvary and brought redemption and place it where? On your mouth. Why? Because you said, I'm undone. And we said, how do you know you're undone? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And by the way, everybody else is too. I just fell into it with them. But the angel, the seraphim, representing the Spirit of God, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, behold, this has touched thy lips. Result, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Wow. James said the mouth and the tongue is unruly. It can't be tamed. But if you have tamed your tongue, you are then a, quote, perfect man. And that's what this is saying. Dear soul, we have done so much in Christianity, but one thing thou lackest, what about our mouth? And will you fight this message like that pastor did when I just told him, be careful about trashing these political figures like you do? Well, they're not right with me. I'm not of that party. They're not of my party. And they can't be right with God. And if you're a certain party, you can't be a Christian. What? Be careful. And I just gave him this verse. Speaking evil of the dignities. Whew. Man. He came at me like a banshee. Are you going to turn on this message? Or are you going to bow to it? God said, if I touch your lips, your sin is purged. Isn't that amazing? Exodus chapter 4. The book of Exodus chapter 4. Verse number 10. Exodus 4:10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. Before you ever called me, I couldn't speak. I'm not a good speaker. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, here's your hope. Don't get mad at this message. Don't get mad at this messenger. Be careful with this, and here's the hope that I trust will encourage your soul. Listen, the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? You want to answer God? Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? How did you get that mouth, Moses? Did you make it? No. Your mom and daddy didn't make it. It came because God has set these things in motion of the man coming to the woman and these things being produced within her body and a human being being brought forth. But you didn't do it. Now, therefore, go. And I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. What can you ask any better? Lord, every time I open my mouth, I'm getting in trouble. Open thy mouth wide, he said, and I will fill it with good things. Now think about the little birds, little naked looking birds, hardly any feathers, eyes still blind. Mouths wide open in that nest, and the mother flies back, and oh, they all want to be the one that got that piece of flesh or whatever it was she was bringing back to them. God said, open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it with good things. I will have the Holy Spirit take from the altar of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, because I am a consuming fire, and I will bring and touch your mouth. You don't need me to touch your toes or touch your nose or touch whatever. You need me to touch your mouth, because if I make your mouth clean, you are whole all together. Thy sins are purged. If any man can bridle his tongue, that man is a perfect man. That's what the book said. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The preparations of the heart in man, we'll read it in a little while, it is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if God has prepared your heart, the answer of the tongue will be from the Lord. And we need to understand that and understand that God is in absolute control. While we're in Proverbs, let's look at chapter 13 and verse number 3. Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. That's not just talking about your life from, you know, from birth to death here on earth. It's talking about eternal life. If you're able to keep your mouth, you can keep your life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Job chapter 2, the book of Job chapter 2. Verse 9. Job was in a terrible predicament, terrible circumstance. You just need to go back a couple of weeks ago and listen to Brother Mike's message on the book of Job, and you will see what he was talking about. Listen. So how did his wife say that he could end his life? What did she set forth to Job as being that which would cause him to commit suicide? Here it is. Listen. Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? You still think you are right and wholesome and proper before God? She gave him four words by which he could die. Curse God and die. How did that woman know that? How did she know that Job could end his suffering by committing suicide? She didn't say, take this knife and stab it in your heart. She didn't say, take this poison root and make a drink out of it and swallow it down. The thing that she brought out to him was the thing that we need to understand and see today. Watch out for your tongue. It can get you in trouble with God. Curse God and die. Suicide would come from the fruit of his mouth. Be careful. But he said unto her, thou speakest. He said, I'm not going to do that with my mouth. You're speaking wrong with your mouth. He said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Listen, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. If he had said what she said, what she wanted him to do, curse God and die, it would have been a sin with his lips. So she was offering him a way to get out of his pain and suffering. And what did it involve? His mouth, his tongue. But the Bible said in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Look at 1:11, Job 1:11. Satan comes before God, verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, what is it, the one sin that Satan tries to tempt God, which he can't be tempted? What is the one thing that Satan said that Job would do if God would smite him? Here are the words of Satan, the devil, Job 1:11. He's speaking this to God. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, listen, and he will curse thee to thy face. The devil was saying it to him. His wife was saying it to him. How was he going to get out of this? He is going to get out of it by using his mouth, not some poison available, not having one of his servants run him through with a sword, but to curse God with his mouth. And Satan said, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 5. The devil repeats it. The devil goes forth and brings forth all kind of calamities upon Job. Comes back again another day when the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord. And the Lord asked Satan again in verse 3 of chapter 2. Have you considered Job? He's doing good, isn't he? And you really brought tragedy down upon his head. And then in verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. That was what Satan was wanting Job to do. That was that which God was looking at and telling Satan that Job maintained his integrity. And the wife even said, do you try to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. The devil said, I'm going to get him to curse you to your face. These were the things that both Satan and the woman, the unseen works of Satan that Job didn't know anything about that was going on in the eternal glories where God was sitting, and there on earth, that was what was going to be that which was launched against him. But the Bible said that in all these things, Job did not he did not curse God, but he maintained his integrity in all these ways. Job sinned not with his lips. Let's go back to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Let me read it to you again. We've already read this verse. Let me read it to you again. James 3, 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Be careful, dear soul, because we have been told and trained and taught over the years by godly Bible teaching that we should avoid this and we should not do that, and this is a problem and that's a problem, and you've bowed and worshiped and said, Lord, I see that, I want to do better, but now there's one thing thou lackest. Don't get involved with social media in trashing dignities. And if you're able to bridle your tongue, the same is a perfect man. We will very shortly stand in the presence of eternal glory. Very shortly. In the last, month or so, two pastors that we know, both have died, went into eternity. It's coming to all of us. You say, well, you don't know if the Lord's coming back. You don't know if you're not going to die tonight. This old shortly, one way or the other, whether he comes after you or you go to him, we're going to stand in the presence of eternal glory. And I don't want you to hear, one thing thou lackest. I don't want you to hear, you are a natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. I don't want you to hear, yeah, you did everything, but you didn't do anything about speaking evil of dignities. And you say, well, it was going on in our generation. Everybody was doing it. Yeah, and everybody's going to hell too. Be careful. Be careful. Can you find Hosea? The book of Hosea, chapter number 14. This is a very unusual verse. Hosea chapter 14. Have I gone over? I have, hadn't I? Wow, I didn't realize it. Have I gone past, Brother Bobby? We'll come back and do our second lesson. We'll look at Hosea chapter 14. It's where we'll take up in our second lesson. I didn't realize that I had gone so far past my time, but this is so important to me, and my heart is so given to you to help you with this that I couldn't help it. Lord bless you. We'll see you in the second lesson.